headquarters of the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Sunnis, Shias, Sufis, Sikhs. Do you know the difference between these groups that have all, most, or some basis in the religion of Islam? Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, explains in an in-depth and user-friendly way the distinctions and differences between these key groups, which are often confusing to those of us in the West. Also included in this CRI-exclusive hardcover resource are study questions designed to provoke thoughtful discussion, as well as a helpful glossary of significant terms. Hank is joined by Christian Research Journal contributing writer Wayne Mayhall, who wrote two significant articles for this brand new equipping resource. To ask Hank or Wayne a question about Islam, the Quran, what Muslims believe, or how to reach Muslims with the gospel, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And last week we had an incredible experience right here at the Christian Research Institute. Right in the middle of our broadcasts on Islam, all the power went out, and so we weren't able to complete the interview and the comments about Islam, answer your questions. And so we decided today we would focus on Islam again with Wayne Mayhall, answer your questions, and give you a perspective on Islam. This is important because on the one hand, Muslims are portrayed as a maniacal monolith. On the other, as peace-loving pacifists. And during the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing became painfully obvious. More often than not, we're being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. And that's why we've produced a resource that you can trust. It gives you the information you need to know about the fastest growing religion in the world. There are now some 1.3 billion Muslims on the planet. And in some places, you find around the world mosques instead of churches, or buildings that once were designated for the worship of Jesus Christ, now designated for Islam. We should never have a we-they siege mentality against Islam. And the reason that we are communicating what we are communicating is because we want to reach a mission field on our very own doorstep. So it's not about us against them, it's about reaching them with the liberating truth that is only found in the Orthodox Christian perspective on God, on Jesus Christ, on salvation, and on Scripture. In Islam, God is not triune. And to assign partners like a God who we believe is the second person of the Trinity, is to commit the sin of shirk. God's, and by the way, that's an unforgivable sin. God's greatest name is Allah. In Islam, Jesus Christ is one of the five greatest prophets, but he didn't die on a cross, and therefore he wasn't resurrected from the dead. And Jesus Christ is not God in Islam. He's only a man and no more than an apostle. As far as their view with respect to salvation, faith and good deeds are necessary to be saved. And good deeds need to outweigh bad deeds in order to be saved. The good works of a Muslim, and we mentioned this last week, are to do the five pillars of Islam, reciting a creed, five daily prayers facing Mecca, giving, fasting, a pilgrimage to Mecca, but there's no assurance of salvation. And catch this. In Islam, no salvation outside Islam. With respect to their scripture, they believe the complete and final revelation of God is the Quran. 114 surahs or chapters. The Hadith, which is the oral tradition of Muhammad's teachings, and the Sunnah, which is the written tradition about Muhammad's conduct. We want to talk about Islam today and put a resource into your hands because we have an opportunity to reach people with the truth, to take the deviations of Islam and use them as springboards or opportunities to share the freedom that we can have in Christ. In Islam, you never know if you're saved. You can hope, you can pray, but you never really know. In Christianity, you can know. These things are written that you may know that you have everlasting life. Again, Wayne Mayhall with me today. We're going to discuss the resource which is available for your gift to the ministry. As you support this ministry, I'll send this incredible resource out to you, available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271 is the zip code. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Hopefully, Wayne, the power stays on today.
Yes, Hank, that was a little interesting last week, to say the least. We were right in the middle of a caller, I think, answering a question, a very important question. It'll probably come up again today when the power just suddenly went out and we were wondering what was going to happen next.
Wayne, talk for a moment about the main branches of Islam. A lot of people see Islam as a monolith, but in reality, it's multifaceted.
Yes, indeed, Hank. That is one of the areas that where we begin our study of Islam, is to understand the different sects of the people of the book, as they call themselves. There are two major sects, the Sunnis and the Shias. The Sunnis represent about 80% of that 1.3 billion that you just mentioned earlier of the population of Muslims in the world. And the Shias represent about 20% of that. There's also a third sect, a mystical sect. We compare that to the mystics of Christianity, called the Sufis. And the Sufis, their only goal is to achieve a oneness with Allah, a sort of mystical relationship that transcends this earth. They are known, represented best by what you might have, our listeners might have heard of as the whirling dervishes. Those men dressed in these bright colored white uniforms with these tall, like chef's hats, who twirl in circles trying to reach a point of ecstasy with Allah.
And then, of course, Islam also has cults, very much like Christianity has cults. One of those cults is the Nation of Islam.
Yes, the Nation of Islam, a very controversial Islamic group. It dates back into the late 60s and early 70s. Today isn't as popular or as large as it was then, numbering in about 25,000 followers of the leader, Louis Farrakhan, who many of our listeners have heard of, was responsible for the Million Man March in the mid-90s on Washington, D.C. A very radical Islamic group. The Nation of Islam actually today is best represented by Louis Farrakhan, but also there's a split in the Nation of Islam. One of the original disciples of the Nation of Islam, his son, seventh generation son, Elijah, is now the head of the Nation of Islam, but they are an offshoot, and they are constantly at odds with Louis Farrakhan and his group of followers in the Nation of Islam.
In the summer of 1930, a man identifying himself as Wallace Fard Muhammad appears in Detroit. He proclaims that he had come from the holy city of Mecca with a mission to teach blacks the truth about whites. He instructed blacks to prepare for the Battle of Armageddon, which he interpreted to mean the final confrontation between blacks and whites. The foundation of his theology was that Allah is God, the white man is the devil, and the so-called Negroes are the Asiatic black people the cream of the planet Earth? And between 1930 and 1933, FARD recruited 8,000 followers among Detroit blacks. The most important of these new members was Elijah Poole, an unemployed auto worker. He was given the name Kareem and rose rapidly in the organization and was later renamed Elijah Muhammad by FARD. And he was subsequently chosen by FARD to be the chief minister of the Nation of Islam. In June of 1934, FARD vanished as mysteriously as he'd arrived. Elijah Muhammad would rule and he would mold the Nation of Islam for the next 41 years. And from the very beginning, Elijah Muhammad had a very simple explanation for FARD's disappearance. We believe that Allah appeared in the person of Master FARD Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians. His disappearance was due to the fact that he had ascended back into heaven and would return at Armageddon to proclaim the total victory of the black man over the white man. Talk about racism. Orthodox Islam has repeatedly, because of this, denounced the Nation of Islam's theology for its denial of an afterlife, its deification of Wallace FARD, and its racism and hatred. Muhammad's approach to building the self-esteem of the black man was two-pronged. First, the blacks need to become one and to separate and have their own country. And second, all of the black men's problems could be traced to one enemy, quote, the blue-eyed white devil, close quote. The white man is by nature evil. He's a snake who is incapable of doing right, a devil who is soon to be destroyed. And therefore, the black man who is by divine nature good must separate from the white man as soon as possible, lest he share the white man's hour of total destruction. A corollary is that Christianity, the white man's religion, is also the enemy. And Elijah Muhammad made this very, very clear. He said, there is no hope for us in Christianity. It's a religion organized by the enemies of the black nation to enslave us to white man's rule. The most significant event to occur in the Nation of Islam was the 1947 conversion of Malcolm X. He was sort of the St. Paul of their movement. And until the national presidency in 1984, during the primaries, few Americans had ever heard of Louis Farrakhan. He was hardly a nationally known personality. It was during Jesse Jackson's run for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination that Farrakhan became an overnight sensation. Farrakhan, one of Jackson's staunchest and most visible supporters, was outspoken in his demagoguery and racism. Following his recruitment to the Nation of Islam, he served under Malcolm X at the Harlem Mosque for 9 months. Subsequently, he was asked to direct the Boston Mosque. Farrakhan stated his position until Malcolm's assassination, in 1965, and after Malcolm's death, he became the minister of Harlem's Mosque No. 7, the largest and most influential mosque outside of Chicago. He was recognized as the national spokesman for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a title he still retains today. The ideology of the Nation of Islam under Farrakhan is almost indistinguishable from what was under Elijah Muhammad. Much more could be said, but this is a legacy of hate. And even a perfunctory reading of the final call, which lists Minister Louis Farrakhan as his publisher, will reveal that Farrakhan's racism remains unabated in spite of claims to the contrary. America's called enemy number one. Whites are referred to as devils, and blacks are warned to avoid following the evil and filth of the white race. So in Islam, they have cults, just as in Christianity. Again, in Islam, what you must know, all of this is explained. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back.
Many of us know Muslims already in our own neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. In Islam, What You Must Know, Hank brings together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order CRI's exclusive brand new hardcover book on Islam, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. Again, the address is www.equip.org. Now, there's more of the Bible Answer Man on the other side of this break, so stay with us. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets, you're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Thank you.
you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of The Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses for 25 years. When I left that organization, because I really felt a lack of connection with Jesus, I was feeling kind of on my own. I didn't know what to do, where to go. I start listening to the radio, and I have to say, the Bible Answer Man was so helpful in deconstructing what was put into my head and reconstructing it to bring me so close to Jesus as I had never felt before.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. Many of us know Muslims already in our own neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. In Islam, What You Must Know, Hank brings together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. Further, in Islam, What You Must Know, you'll also learn arguments made by leading Muslim apologists and how to respond. To order CRI's exclusive brand new hardcover book on Islam, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here is the host of The Bible Answer Man and the editor of Islam What You Must Know, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And everything we discussed in the first segment of the broadcast today is in Islam What You Must Know, from the Nation of Islam, one of the cults of Islam, to the Sufis, to the Sunnis, to the Shia. And Wayne, when we talk about the cults of Islam and the Nation of Islam, that is not the only cult of Islam. Just like Christianity, Islam has its cults.
That's correct, Hank. And in the book, Islam What You Must Know, I was able to co-write several articles that are about two offshoots of Islam. One of those is an article on Sikhs. The Sikhs were founded centuries ago by a man named Guru Nanak in the Punjab area of India. He believed in a little bit of Islam and a little bit of the Hindu system and combined them both to come up with his own religion, in a sense, known as Sikhism. Another one that we concentrated on too, other than the Shias and the Sunnis in the book, would be the Wahhabists. And the Wahhabists are actually a fundamentalist group of Islamic believers who could be either Sunni, Shiite, Sufi, or any of the other offshoots of Islam. But they are a fundamental group, extremist group, who believes that Allah's will should be taken throughout the world and to all the nations.
If you look at the fact that there are now somewhere in the vicinity of 1.3 billion Muslims on the planet, a lot of people look at them as a maniacal monolith, as I mentioned in the first segment of the broadcast today, and they would say, well, they're all basically terrorists. They're all sworn to jihad, and therefore we should fear them from that perspective. How do you look at that? How do you sort that out? And how many of that 1.3 billion would be fanatical?
Roughly about 15 to 18% is what we have in demographics of the 1.3 billion are considered extremists or fundamentalist. Those that we're most concerned about, those that we look toward with the results of a 9/11 or a London subway bombing or a Madrid train bombing. That number, 15-18%, if you do the math, comes up to roughly about the population of the United States in radical Islamic Muslims out there, 300 million or so, in roughly 45 to 50 countries is the estimate. Now, if this group was ever to start to form, these smaller groups were ever start to form a larger group and to coalesce, then there would be even a larger concern, as they're doing now in Europe, in parts of Europe and and in Canada, for example, where they're trying to enforce Muslim law, what's known as Sharia law, in certain communities. And the governments of those places are having to confront that situation socially.
So when you analyze Islam in general, you have to ask the question, if it is growing as quickly as it is, what's the attraction?
For the Muslim believer, depending on where they're at on the continuum, we discussed this the other day in the show before the lights went out, the continuum is between the moderate Muslim believer, the American Muslim believer, who may not even read the Quran, may not even attend the mosque, may not even pray five times daily, but who calls themselves a Muslim. The other end would be the extremist or fundamentalist who is willing to strap on some explosives and walk into a crowded grocery store and become a martyr for Allah and find himself in paradise instantly according to their belief system. And that continuum, the appeal is mainly to Allah. Allah is the center of everything. Allah is the God that has given his revelation through the angel Gabriel to the prophet Muhammad. And that revelation is good for all things in life, for duty and for worship and for everything that moves forward in the Muslim's lives on a daily basis. That's the center, Allah.
And we're critical of Islam. For example, we say that their authority, the Quran, is seriously flawed, which is quite a statement, because to a Muslim, the Quran is sacred. We might take a Bible and write in it. We might throw it on the seat of our car. We may read it on the floor. Muslims revere their scriptures. So for me to say that the Quran is seriously flawed is an affront to Islam. Question is, of course, is that true?
You answered that question very astutely, Hank, in an article titled, Is the Quran Credible? And that is in the book, Islam, What You Must Know. In that article, you bring up probably one of the major points where you say that unlike the Bible, the Quran is riddled with factual errors. A classic case that you point out involves the Quran's denial of Christ's crucifixion.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any more basic than that. In the Quran, Surah 4, 157, it is clearly stated that Jesus Christ was not crucified, and if Jesus Christ was not crucified, Jesus Christ was not resurrected, and if Jesus Christ was not resurrected, then the Christian faith has no validity whatsoever. We say the resurrection is the capstone in the arch of Christianity. Paul, the great apostle of Christianity, said that if Christ is not raised, you might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. You have no hope whatsoever apart from resurrection, and yet, according to Islam, the resurrection simply never happened.
That's exactly right. Furthermore, the Muslim believer does not believe that Jesus Christ could have been the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh. That is, in Islam, the sin of shirk or idolatry. Nothing, no one can be put up next or compared to Allah. Allah is the supreme God and is monolithic, as you said earlier.
Again, the book, The Resource, Islam, What You Must Know, available for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's take some questions. Ian, he's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Thank you. First off, I'd just like to say that your radio program and your website has been really helpful to me in my Christian growth, and I'd just like to let you know that you and your ministry are in my family's prayers.
Oh, thank you so much.
My question is... as far as Jesus Christ coming back, what exactly does Islam believe? And I think I've heard somewhere before that that they believe that he comes back, but he defers to Muhammad or something about praying for the people or.
This is a fascinating question, Ian. This is going to knock your socks off when you hear the details of this one. First of all, the Quran, as you know, is arranged in chapters. They call them surahs. And it's roughly the size of the New Testament, about 114 surahs. And in the Quran, listen to this verse. It says, "And Jesus shall be a sign for the coming of the hour of judgment. Therefore, have no doubt about the hour, but follow you, me. This is a straight way." What the Quran is saying here is that, according to Islamic tradition too, this describes that Jesus' descent will be in the midst of a huge battle between the Mahdi, which is the rightly guided caliph of Islam, and in Islamic eschatology, Jesus will join up with this Mahdi, and they will battle the Antichrist. It's known as Dajjal in the Arabic. Jesus will descend, listen to this part here, at a point of a white arcade east of Damascus, dressed in yellow robes, his head anointed, and he will then join the Mahdi in this war against the Antichrist. Jesus is considered in Islam as a Muslim in this fight, and this fight will culminate in a victory by the Mahdi and by Christ, and therefore we will have one worldwide Islamic community. That's their view of the second coming of Christ.
Right. Wow. And was there... And like I said, I thought I heard at some point, is there a point where Jesus defers to him when he's for a prayer for the people, or was I wrong about that? Or
no, I've heard that too, and I believe that comes out of the Sunnah tradition. That's not a Quranic tradition or belief system, but that does come out of the Muslim writings. That's correct.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, and God bless you.
Thank you, Ian. Again, the book Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal. It's just an incredible resource. It's something that we should all be familiar with. And it is a way of equipping yourself to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. On the other side of the break, we're going to be taking some more questions on Islam, including some of the social media questions that have been called in. But I want to spend just a moment before we go to break underscoring just how important it is for people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. I got a letter the other day that said, "Dear Hank, I've listened to you for many years at supper time. I tuned in 2 weeks ago, and I was so disappointed that I could not hear you on the Bible Answer Man broadcast anymore. I felt as though I'd lost a good friend. You were part of our supper hour for so many years. I've learned so much from your broadcast. I thank you for that. Now I'm reading Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. It's great. It's informative. I will call in to donate to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. What would it take to get your broadcast back? Thank you for using your talents, the talents that God has given you. Blessings to you and your staff." Again, one more person writing in that continues to support this ministry and is now listening to the broadcast on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Remember, this broadcast is streamed live on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also find archived copies of the broadcast on the web. Again, equip.org. Again, on the other side of the break, more with Wayne Mayhall and your questions on Islam. Be right back.
To order CRI's exclusive brand new hardcover book on Islam, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Just as Christianity has cults or counterfeit groups claiming to represent Christianity, so does the religion of Islam. One well-known controversial example is Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, a controversial organization that has made troubling inroads in American prisons. Learn more when you order Islam, What You Must Know in hardcover, exclusively available from CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website, www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Again, let me underscore the fact that this is, as you said, exclusively available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and it's exclusively available for your gift to keep the broadcast circling the globe. Again, you can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. 28271. Resource consultants is always available at 888-7000-CRI. A lot of Facebook, Twitter questions, social media questions in general flooding in to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We want to answer a few of those questions as promised right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Job, question for Wayne: what is jihad? What is the 13th Imam? What should Christians know about the Quran? Three questions from Job.
Those are three very good questions that Job has asked us, and they're all covered in Islam, What You Must Know, and we try to break them down in each their separate article. The first question, what is jihad? It's important to understand that Americans have an idea of jihad that's tethered to the 9/11 incident, Hank, first of all. The idea of jihad is that those radical extremist Muslims are out there and they're going to do whatever it takes, even if it means murder, to spread the word of Allah. And basically, what you need to know is, in a balanced approach to jihad, is that there's different types of jihad. There's what's known as lesser jihad, which is the idea that Allah teaches in the Quran that his followers are to defend themselves against an invading tribe. And this is a well-known instance in the history of Islam. This had to happen on several occasions. When Muhammad was first getting the faith started, he had to flee from Mecca to Medina in order to preserve the faith. And at some point, though, he made a stand and came back to Mecca and then made a stand there in Mecca against those who were against Islam. The other type of jihad is known as greater jihad. And this is the jihad that the individual Muslim believer experiences in their own life as they seek ritual purity and seek to have an understanding of Allah. They themselves must take captive the things in their life that are dark, that lead them away from Allah. That's also an individual type of jihad. And then the third type of jihad, and this is usually attributed to fundamentalist extremists as well, is known as social jihad. And this is a type of jihad we refer to usually when we think of the 9/11 incident or Islamic fundamentalist extremist instances in history.
So you have, what is jihad? The 13th Imam.
The 13th Imam is actually, and I think what you meant to ask here is the 12th Imam. The 12th Imam is associated with Shia Islam, and he is the Imam who's presently in a state of what is called occultation, which means he's out there somewhere, but he's hidden from the world. And the Shias believe that in the end, in their eschatology, their end times view, this Imam will reappear to take dominion of the earth and to unify the Shia Islamic believers.
And then the last question Job asks has to do with the Quran, and I think that's a very important question because in Islamic lore, we mentioned this previously in this broadcast, the Quran is considered to be sacred, holy, in a sense different from the way we regard the Bible. We will put a Bible on our car seat or on the floor. They elevate the Quran. You have to carry it above your waist. Even if you're praying, it has to be on a stand. You put it in the highest shelf in your house. So they treat it with great dignity. But what is the Quran? How did it come to be?
The origin of the Quran, Hank, goes back to, of course, that period of time when the angel Gabriel revealed to Muhammad over a period of roughly two decades, according to most historians, the vision, the idea of Allah, the word of Allah, the perfect word in Arabic to Muhammad. Muhammad, through a process known as, actually Quran means recitation in Arabic, which means to recite. Muhammad would then recite these revelations to the people vocally in an oral tradition. They would then The scribes would then write them down, and over a period of a couple of decades, the Quran came together in Mecca and is now known as the perfect book, as you say. For example, to underscore that, in elementary schools in Saudi Arabia, children are taught to wash themselves and to be in a state of ritual purity before they even touch the Quran. And then when they take it up, they're to kiss it three times, go through the recitation, and then close the book and kiss it three times again. Is that sort of respect that's taught early on in the Islamic tradition.
One of the pillars of Islam is to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. It's sort of mysterious. You see people moving counterclockwise around a Kaaba stone. What's going on there?
The idea with the pilgrimage to Mecca, once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage, is that as you move counterclockwise around the Kaaba stone, you're undoing your sins. You're undoing your sins against Allah and against your brother. And when people come to this stone, they come in a state of ablution, what's called ritual purity, and they all come dressed in white. So the prince of an Islamic nation might be walking side by side with the lowest of the lowest caste of Islamic believers from the same nation around that Kaaba stone.
And I think this underscores a fundamental difference between Christianity and Islam, because in Christianity, we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Jesus Christ has done for us. In Islam, works are necessary for a hopeful salvation, not a salvation that you can count on, but a salvation that you can hope for.
That's right. It's solo fide, solo gratia. By faith alone, by grace alone, we come to Christ as Christians and believers in Christ. The Islamic believer comes by works, by doing what's right. And as a matter of fact, each Islamic believer, it's believed, is assigned two angels. One angel to keep track of all their good deeds, and another angel to keep track of all their bad deeds. And you have these five pillars that you follow, and you follow religiously if you're seeking purity and closeness and a hope that Allah will allow you into His paradise.
We are convinced that it is important for people to know about Islam. From your perspective, why?
To do evangelism, to have a lifestyle evangelism with a Muslim believer, first of all, it must be on an individual basis. To approach a group of Muslims and to speak to them of Christianity is to make them lose faith. And an Islamic believer cannot lose faith, because Allah commands them in the Quran to spread His word and to be faithful to His word. So you must first approach them on an individual basis, and secondly, you must approach them with humility and with compassion. You must allow them to speak of what they believe and not negate their beliefs. You must learn how to build bridges between that Muslim believer in order to open up space for the Spirit of Christ to join in the conversation.
There is a young girl in the news right now who is converted to Christianity. Talk about that story for a moment, Wayne. I personally had the experience, and I've shared this on the show, of leading a young man named Saeed to the Lord. He was from Amman, Jordan, and after he came to faith in Christ, he lived with us for over a year. I discipled him. I baptized him. I taught him how to share his faith. But he was always afraid to go back home, because he said, if I go back and indicate that I have converted to Christianity, my life is worth nothing. How real is that?
It's very real, Hank. And this story that's in the news, it talks about a 17-year-old runaway. Her name is Rivka Barry. She's a Christian convert, and she's now being protected in Florida by a reverend there of a church. The church is the Orlando-based Global Revolution Church, and his name is Blake Lorenz. He's protecting her from her parents, who live in Ohio. She says because she's converted to Christianity, that if she goes back home, she will be harmed, even killed or murdered, perhaps.
And how realistic is that?
It's very realistic in a sense that we don't understand as Americans how fundamental some Islamic believers in America still are in their own communities. That even if she wasn't murdered, perhaps, she could be beaten. The Quran actually allows for a husband to beat his wife lightly if it's necessary to get her in line. And this passes on to all women in the Islamic faith. And that's another part of this story, Hank, is that a lot of American women will marry, who come out of a Christian background, will marry Muslim believers only to find out that they've married someone they didn't realize who he was before they married him. They married into a situation of being unequally yoked, yes, but they married a man who's also informing them of his belief system through violence. And so this young teen girl's experience is probably very real, and she probably has some other experiences to go on here too.
And of course, a lot of Muslims listening in today would say, I'm not a fundamentalist. That is as foreign to me as it would be foreign to you. There is no sense in which I would ever even consider killing someone who had converted to Christ.
Well, of course, and that's true. The large population of Muslims in America are moderate Muslims who are peace-loving, compassionate Muslims who realize they live in a democratic society, and although they may practice Sharia law, Muslim law, and live in Muslim communities, are not. They do not condone fundamentalistic violence, no.
And with that, we're going to have to leave it because we simply don't have any more time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. More information available through Islam, What You Must Know, the Best of the Christian Research Journal, again, available through the ministry at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And I should use the word exclusively. It is exclusively available through the ministry for your gift to keep this voice circling the globe. You can also order on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a special treat, Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, on the broadcast as we talk about the newest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Also, Melanie Cogdell, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal, will be here. We'll be answering your questions on a wide variety of subjects, so whatever your question, give us a call tomorrow. Right here on the broadcast, you can call 888-ASK-HANK. And if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, please consider doing that today. It is a must-read magazine. You'll find out about that and so much more on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right here tomorrow with more of the show.
Islam, What You Must Know, the Best of the Christian Research Journal, is a new book edited by Hank Hanegraaff. Many of us know Muslims already in our own neighborhood or workplace, and with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. In Islam, What You Must Know, Hank brings together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order CRI's exclusive brand new hardcover book on Islam, call 888-7000-274 or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is coming to California in September. Hank will be speaking in Southern California at Newberry Park on Wednesday, September 16th at the Living Oaks Church Midweek Series on Worldview Issues from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There will also be a question and answer session. Again, that's Wednesday, September 16th. Then on Friday and Saturday, September 18th and 19th, Hank will be speaking in the San Francisco area at the 2009 California Christian Apologetics Engaging the Culture for Christ Conference at Harbor Light Church in Fremont. For more information on how to attend or register for either California event, go to www.equip.org. And don't forget to invite your friends. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.